What if this were your last day on earth? I want you to think about that for a moment. What if this were your last day on earth? I got up this morning with this thought on my mind. How many there are in the world that this will be their last day on earth? When the sun rises in the morning, there will be thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were here today alive that won't be here tomorrow. I thought about my own self. What if this were my last day on earth? What if? The Holy Spirit reminded me in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us in this building has an appointment that has not been made by us, but it's been made by our Maker. I would remind us this morning that it is God that hath made us and not we ourselves. For two or three days, the Lord's been reminding me of that very fact that He is the one that created us. Now, if you listen to some of the media today and believe what they say, you wouldn't believe that truth. As far as the world is concerned, we have evolved from nothing to something. But the testimony of this book, the Bible, is that God hath made us. God created us. In His likeness, in His image, God created us. And until sin entered into mankind, we were in His image and like Him. We were upright, walking uprightly before God until sin entered into the world, and then sin turned everything upside down. Sin came between God and man. It didn't affect God, but it sure did affect man. And so, I had turned to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, and I'll be referencing that for a little bit this morning. But I want to remind you again of the question that I ask. What if this were your last day on earth? Now, some of us have made a pretty good start. We got up this morning, recognized that God is God, and He wanted us to go to church. And so most of us bathed ourselves and put on our clothes and got in our cars, and we came to the house of God. Pretty good start for the day. I came this morning and met with several men in the church auditorium here a few minutes after 9, and we got down on our knees and we called upon the name of the Lord. That's a good thing. Not just praying for ourselves and you're praying for your pastor, but we came praying for our church family. We came to pray one for another. We came to pray for our Sunday school. We came to pray for our song service today, for our musicians. We came to pray for our offerings that would be given today. And we came to pray for this hour of the preaching of the Word of God. We came to pray for those that would be visiting in our midst today. And we're delighted that you are here. You've already been prayed for, lifted up to the Lord in prayer. And so that's a good thing. It's been a good start to our day. I right down there on my knees by this first seat this morning, once again, the Lord reminded me of Romans 12 and 1. And there I said, Lord, here I want to offer my body again today as a living sacrifice unto you. If this were my last day on earth, I do not know of anything I'd rather do with my body than to give it to God. I offered my body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. I read where that's my reasonable service. And the reason I could do that and wanted to do that and willed to do that is because God created me and God gave me the life that I now live. I haven't always been a Christian, but since 1961, I've been walking with the Lord headed toward that place called heaven. I'm indebted to Him for the life that I live. Fact is, the life that I live is the life that He has given me, and He deserves the life. He deserves my body. If God can take this body and use it for His glory and for His honor, that's what I want. If this were my last day on earth, I would want God to be in control of my body.
Amen.
Not only did I offer my body a living sacrifice, but I gave Him my heart again this morning. I willingly gave my heart to God. I said, God, I want you to take my heart. I want you to possess my heart.
Amen.
If this were my last day on earth, I want God to be in possession of the very institution within me that causes me to recognize who God is. I'm glad that God one day took out that old stony heart, that old sinful heart. God removed that and put within me a heart of flesh, a heart that could understand, a heart that could communicate with God, a heart that could feel the presence of God. Pretty good start to the day. If this were your last day on earth, how about it? It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are, has nothing to do with the end. In Genesis 5, we find this phrase 8 different times in Genesis chapter 5, and he died. I think one of the reasons we receive a newspaper every day at our home is because of the obituary column. My wife loves to look and see who died. Every now and then, I'll get on the internet and I'll go to Taylorsville, North Carolina. That's where we came from. Knew a lot of people there. We grew up around that area and we're interested in who's dying. And I can tell you that a lot of people that I grew up with, the last thing I heard about them was that they died. A lot of people that I went to school with, the last I heard about them was they died. Next month, on the 16th of August, I'll be 73 years old, and there's a whole lot of people that I grew up with that have never lived to this age. And I read of them that they died. Let me just remind you about some people. Adam, the first man, lived 930 years. 930 years. Don't you imagine somewhere along about 900 years old, he thought, I'm going to live forever. I'm just going to live forever and ever and ever. Now, I cannot begin to imagine what it would be like to live to be 900 years old. I visited my mom in a nursing home when about a year before my mom passed away. She was 93 years old. But the last thing was said about my mom was that she died. And I sat on the edge of the bed one day. I went to visit my mom, and I sat there on the edge of the bed, and I said, Mom, I'm worried. And she said, Andrew, what in the world are you worried about? You don't ever worry about anything. I said, yeah, Mom, I'm worried. She said, what are you worried about? I said, I'm worried that I'll live to be as old as you are. I don't know if I want to live to be 93 years old or not. I look at a whole lot of people that have a lot of problems. I saw my mom there in that nursing home, 93 years old. She lived in a home by herself until she was 91. But a fall and a broken bone caused her to have to be moved into a nursing home. I have, being a pastor of a church, I've seen aged people, what they go through. I've seen people that have been diseased and sick, and I've saw the end of their lives. And much of it is not good. But the Bible says of Adam that he lived to be 930 years old. It doesn't talk a whole lot more about Adam's life, and we can study his life. We know he was the first man that God ever created. And we know the story about how things happened there in the Garden of Eden. But what we know about Adam's life is very limited. But what we do know is that when he got to be 930 years old, he died. I wonder what happened on the last day of Adam's life on this earth. I really wonder what happened in the last day of Adam's life on this earth. I believe Adam's life, once the Lord had visited Adam and Eve and God had clothed them, and those clothes of those goat skins or sheep skins had shed that blood, I just believe that Adam's life was lived every day in the light of the presence of God from then on. He understood what sin had done to him. And he understood about the grace of God. You know, it's amazing to me, there are multitudes of people in this world today, they have not yet discovered what sin can do for you and to you. Sin will rob you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will give you a miserable life. But it's amazing to me at the people today that still flirt around with sin, still play with sin, and still have not discovered the agonies of sin. I want to tell you, every man, every woman, every boy and girl that's in hell today is there because of sin. Every heartache there is in the world today, there are people in this building today that have heartaches. Those heartaches are caused because of sin. Maybe not your sin, but somebody's sin has caused those heartaches. Those disappointments in your life. You know, there's been times in my life when I've aspired to do things. I've aspired to be something. But sin got in the way and caused me to fall short of my goal. And I stood there dumbfounded, stood there broken, stood there, beloved, discouraged and despondent because of sin. Adam lived to be 930 years old. And because of sin, he died. I read of another man. His name is Seth. Lived to be 912 years old. And the Bible says of Seth that after 912 years, he died. I read of Enos. E-N-O-S. After 959 years, Enos died. Canaan, 910 years. Mahalalel, 895 years. Jared, 962 years. And then there's Methuselah that lived to be 969 years old. Lamech, 777. And as far as we know, the oldest lived man in the world was Methuselah, and I do know why Methuselah lived to be the oldest man in the world. Somebody said, "Preacher, we can't know that." Oh, yes, we can know that. I'm glad, listen, if you do some study and find out what his name means, you'll understand a little more about it. The name Methuselah meant when he is dead, it is finished. In other words, God told Enoch, and Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and he was not, for God took him. And the reason Enoch walked with God for 300 years after Methuselah was born is he knew that his name Methuselah meant when he dies, it's over with. Have you ever heard the preacher preach about the long suffering of God? God is long suffering. God is not willing that men perish. God does not want men and women to die and go to hell. That's why God's been so good to you. God has been merciful, and God has let you live long enough to understand what sin is and what sin will do, and give you an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. I'm so glad the Lord convicted my heart of sin when I was 24 years old. And I understood beyond any shadow of a doubt, if I died in that sin, hell would be where I would abide forever, in that place called hell. I had a dream one night about hell before I was saved. I dreamed about hell. I dreamed about the end of the world. I dreamed about that fire and brimstone falling and it burning up everything that it hit. I dreamed about falling into a pit that you never touched the bottom. You just fell and you fell and you fell. And nothing but fire and flame, just a continual falling. Jesus put it this way. He said, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You think it's hot on the outside out here. Someone reminded me on the news this week, some man went out on his sidewalk to get a paper, and the sidewalk was so hot that he got second-degree burns on his feet, and he walked until he couldn't go no further, and he fell over, and his neighbors ran to his rescue and pulled him into the grass with second-degree burns on his feet. Imagine what hell must be like, where Jesus said, hell is a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never, ever quenched. Every person that's died and went to hell, they're still screaming in their awful agony in that place called hell today. I remember some years ago, God put it in my heart to preach several messages about hell. And I asked this question, is there a hell? Is there a hell? A lot of people don't believe there is a hell. They watch television and, you know, television glorifies hell. You know, if you watch and believe what you read on television, hell is an air-conditioned place where they got the rock and roll bands, and that's all they do, party all the time. But I will tell you, that's not what Jesus said hell's like. Amen. And so I was praying and preparing on that message, is there a hell? And one day there was a fire right here in Packlet, a half a mile from our church right here. Right out on Elizabeth Street. Some of you remember that fire. Some of you remember that man that got burned in that fire trying to rescue his baby in that fire. It was a fire that was caused by him, poured gasoline on a fire, and it exploded and the whole room caught on fire and he got burned bad. Well, a week or so after that happened, I went to the hospital to see this man. Now remember, God was dealing my heart about this message, is there a hell? And I've been studying about the rich man in hell, how he suffered in hell, how he pleaded in hell, how he begged that somebody go back and tell his five brothers that were headed there, don't come to this awful place. And the Lord said, they've got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, God said, let them hear what the preacher says. If they don't hear what the preacher says, it wouldn't do any good if one came back from the hell, back from the dead and told them about what hell is like. I'll tell you, better believe what this Bible says. So I went to the hospital to see this man. They had him in isolation. I've never seen anything like it, Brother Tommy, in my whole life. In my whole time of visiting the hospitals and seeing, I've seen some people burn bad, but I've never seen anybody burned like that man was burned. They had him in an isolation room. I had to put on a suit before I could go in there. I had to put on a mask. I had to put on this white garb before they would let me go in there. And I went in there. Listen, that man was writhing in pain. They had him, listen, everywhere they had him covered up in white powder to try to ease that burn, and the fluid from his body was oozing out of that white powder on him. And he was here on, just a big old white It looked, I don't know if it's a bed or if it's just a big cloth or what, but everywhere, listen, he was writhing, agonizing, and everywhere he touched, he left meat. His hands, his feet, his body was burned all over. The man survived. But I'm telling you, I stood there in that room. Listen, I said, Lord, I'd love to speak to him. The Lord said, hold your peace. He would not hear a word you're saying. He is in such misery. He's in such pain. He's in such agony that he don't hear. He will not hear anything. He doesn't know anything. All he knows is pain. I walked out of that hospital room and I came home and sat down and prepared that message, is there a hell? And I came and preached from this pulpit to our congregation, is there a hell? I'm telling you, to die without Christ, if you die today and you're not saved, hell will be your eternal doom. You'll be there forever. Just like that man that was in that room, everything you touch, you'll be in agony forever and ever and ever. Oh God, help this pain. You'll never hear anything. You'll never see anything. You'll never know anything except the agonies of hell. That rich man that died, he didn't go to hell because he's rich. He went to hell because he let his riches be his God. Amen. And I'm telling you, you'll not go to hell because of who you are. You'll go to hell because you won't believe God. I'm glad Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says that Enoch lived for 969 years. You say, preacher, why did he live so long? Because Noah was preparing an ark. Remember that man Noah? That God spoke to Noah and said, I want you to go out here and I want you to build a big boat. Why in the world? See, here's the world's reasoning. They go by and they see Noah out here and they don't see much to begin with. Him and his sons are dragging logs out of the forest and they're bringing them out here, piling them up, and then they go to work on them with some kind of chisel and some kind of an axe or some kind of whatever they use to do the wood with, and they laid out this big foundation of a boat. Nobody knew what a boat was. Never had rained. Right out here in the middle of nowhere, no water in sight, nothing there. Noah, what in the world are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? Because God said to. Now, can you not hear that crowd laughing at him? Mocking him, deriding him? That man has gone crazy. He has no earthly idea about what life is about. Look at what he's doing to his sons and their wives and his wife, denying them, depriving them, and causing them to do all of this work day after day after day, week after week after week. And besides all that, he stands out here and talks about righteousness and right living and how we ought to live for God and how we ought to abandon sin and get away from sin and recognize God and live for him. And they mocked him because he preached. You know why these seats are empty in this building today? It's because people don't believe what I'm preaching. They don't believe what I'm preaching. But I'll tell you, Noah, for 120 years. Now you think I've been here preaching a long time. Wait till I'm about 90 and you will think something. Noah preached for 120 years. I'm not asking God to let me preach for 120 years. It would be nice to preach for 60. Wouldn't it be something if God would let me preach a whole lifetime of 70 years? That would mean a lot of you would be gone. you will have died. But I'm not interested in next week, next month, next year. I'm here today. And what if this were your last day on earth? I'm telling you, God allowed Noah to build that ark for 120 years because God was long-suffering. My friend Methuselah's growing older and older, but at the end of 120 years of Noah building that ark, Methuselah's going to die. After 969 years, the oldest man that we have record of in the world died. And you know what happened when Methuselah died? God took Noah and his family into that ark, and God took those creatures into that ark, and God shut the door, and God allowed the heavens and the earth to open, and for 40 days and nights it rained the judgment of God on this world. And every man, every beast, every creature on this earth died. Died. Think about it. What if this were your last day on earth? And preacher, what could I do? First of all, I'd make sure I was saved. That's what I'd do. If I wasn't saved, I'd never go out those doors or those doors. My friend, you could drop over dead before the sun ever sets today. You don't have to be 900 years old. You don't have to be 90 years old. You can be 30 years old, 12 years old. No matter. Listen, the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And when you're, when God, when your number comes up on God's clock, you're going. I don't care how many rescue squad people there are around, how many doctors there are, how many medicines there are. When your time comes, the last thing that's going to be said of you is that they died. What if it were today? I would want to make sure I was saved. You see, we still live in that wonderful, marvelous day of grace when God still stands with outstretched arms. I can see old Noah as he'd stand out there. Said, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. God said you can be saved. If you'll turn from your sin and turn to God, if you'll believe what God said about sin, admit you're a sinner and come to God and just bow at His feet and repent of your sin and accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God will forgive your sin. God will put your name in His book. God will put you in that ark of safety, so when judgment comes, you'll escape that judgment. I want to tell you, it's not going to be rain anymore. The world will not be destroyed by water. Again, never, ever, never. God put a bow in the sky called the rainbow to remind us that God will never do that again with water. But I read over in 1 Peter, the next time God destroys it, it's going to be with fire. Even the very air. When I was in service, Brother Don, back in the early 50s, I was in a 867 field artillery battalion. We had the atomic cannon. We had that atomic shell. That exploded that atomic bomb in, I believe it was in Idaho, out in the desert. Remember Nagasaki and Hiroshima? That ended World War II. I'll tell you, the destruction of that atomic bomb was so great that the effects of it are still being felt today. But that ain't a drop in the bucket. See, what happens when that bomb explodes? The very air explodes. Neutrons, protons, atoms, they all begin to explode. That's what that atomic bomb does. And it causes such a force that it wipes out everything and burns everything in its path as far as it goes to a crisp. That ain't a drop in the bucket to what's going to happen to this earth one day. Even the very air that you breathe will catch on fire. I'm glad I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be in another place called heaven. What if this were your last day on earth? I'd want to be saved. The Bible says in John 3:16, I want you to listen. I'm going to read three verses, John 15:16 and 17. For God so loved the world. Boy, isn't that something? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's what those verses tell me. That a person doesn't have to wait until they die to be condemned. If you're here lost without Christ, you're condemned right now. You're under the death sentence now. Already, right now, where you sit. You're under not my death sentence, not the death sentence of the church, but you're under God's death sentence. You're already condemned. In other words, there is no escape for you except through the door of God's grace. Jesus Christ is the only door of escape. Jesus said this. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's where I got in. I came in that door of Jesus Christ. I turned from my sin and I said, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me. He came into my heart. He saved me. He forgave my sin. And then, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. Is because of what He did for me back there in 1961. He saved my soul. And I'll tell you, I'm so thrilled about it, I want to tell every other sinner that there's hope. If there was hope for me, there's hope for you. If God could save somebody like me, God could surely save somebody like you. I'd make sure that are saved. And for those of us that are saved, listen, we're talking about what if this were your last day on earth? What are you holding on to today that keeps God from working in your life? If this were my last day on earth, Brother Jesus, I would want to be completely sold out to the Lord. Lock, stock, and barrel. God, I don't own anything in this world. I've already told you this morning that I gave Him my body. I've gave Him my heart. Yeah. I want to tell you, if this is my last day on earth, Brother Mitch, I want to be sold out completely. Amen. I don't want to have anything that I wouldn't want to turn loose of. If God were to come to me right now, standing right here, and God would say, it's time for you to come, and my body were to fall over here, I don't want anything that I'd regret leaving here. Amen. My wife's already made arrangements to come to where I'm going. And if she leaves first, I've already made arrangements to go where she's going. Made that arrangement with my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, those of you in this church that are saved by the grace of God, those preparations have already been made. If Jesus were to come and this were the last day of my life on earth, I want it to be recorded in heaven that He was completely sold out for the Lord. I'm telling you, what I gave up ain't nothing as compared to what I've gained. But what I've gained, I'm going to walk out there in that hot sun again after a while, and I'm going to rejoice. Because that's like air conditioning compared to the hell that I've escaped. Miss Meyer, I want y'all to get that song, There'll Be No Hell for Me. It's invitation time. I'm not through with the message, but it's the Lord just said stop. Get that song. Y'all come on just as quickly as you can. Miss Glenda, Shannon, Myra, y'all be making your way on here quickly. There'll be no hell for me. I'm glad I'm saved. This morning, if you're here today and you've never been saved by God's grace, God brought you here for you to hear what you've heard today. What if this were your last day on earth? One day will be your last day. One day we're all going to have a last day. There's room at the cross for you. There's room. You say, preacher, don't believe a thing you've said. I won't tell you 1 millisecond after you die, you'll believe everything I said. But it'll be too late. I'll tell you, once you die in your sin, there's no more hope. There's no more help. You die and go to hell, you'll be there forever. That's what this Bible says. You can deny this if you will, and die and go to hell, and nothing nobody can do about it. That's between you and God, what you do with it. But I'm telling you, if you choose to die and go to hell, there's never been a bigger fool that God ever created than you. God loves you. And God's made a way where you can be saved. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? Give your heart to the Lord. Step out where you are and come bow on this altar. There'll be somebody here with the Bible show you what needs to be done in order for your sin to be forgiven and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is our invitation. You sit and you, Christians, you pray as the trio sings this song.
There is a place God has prepared that's made for Satan. Eternal fire, torment, disgrace, forever. And the are not born again will surely go there. No love down there. No one who cares forevermore. But there is not a hell awaiting me, for I've been born again. No place of darkness, for God's precious Son is shining deep within. And all because of Jesus' precious love, I'm gonna walk home. Heaven sure, that'll be my home forevermore. And in that place God has prepared, there'll be such crying, the pain of sin shall never end forevermore. There'll never be a sweet relief to them that go there. No love down there, no one who cares forevermore. But there is not a hell awaiting me, for I've been born. Darkness, for God's precious love is shining. precious love, I'm gonna walk home. Heaven's shore, that'll be my home forevermore. That'll be my home place God has prepared. There'll be such crying, the pain of sin shall never end forevermore. There'll never be a sweet relief to them that go there. No love down there, no one who cares for. But there is not a hell awaiting me, for I've been born again. No place of darkness, for God's precious light is shining deep within. And all because of Jesus' precious love, I'm gonna walk on. And sure, that'll be my home forevermore.
What if this were your last day on earth? Are you satisfied? Have you done all that you need to do? Sister Lewis?